Hey everyone, welcome to the Devi Big Board. This is Skip Newton here, just with a quick little intro before we get to Dwight Peoples and his solo podcast, because I'm taking the week off. I just want to start it off by saying, with Thanksgiving being here, and that's my favorite holiday every year, I need to do a quick note about who and what I'm thankful for. Of course, starting off with friends and family, I am so fortunate to have an amazing group of friends and an awesome family. And none of this would mean anything really without that. Also, I have to say, I'm very thankful for you all, the listeners. I hope you get value out of our podcasts. And if you want to ever interact with us on Twitter or reach out, you know, whatever, it would be fantastic. I just, you know, thank you so much for the support and for listening. Big shout out as well to the Devi and Campus to Canton community. There's too many names to mention, but just a few I jotted down. Of course, the guys over at the Devi Dashboard or Devi to Dynasty, you know, led by Brandon Lejeune. It's his baby and it's expanded and it's just an awesome, awesome group of people. And it's so much fun to be a part of that. Campus to Canton crew, those guys are doing such great work, just amazing, and such a great resource. The Devi Marketplace with Kane and Shane, a couple of my favorites. Love the podcast, love the information. And of course, there's too many names to remember. You've got, you know, Corey and Kevin and then Katie, just a few names off the top of my head. But I do have to do a special shout out to my friends Matthew Jackson and Brian Shikochis. You guys are the best. You know, we got started together in the Devi Happy Hour, and I know Matt and I haven't done a Devi Happy Hour for a while, but we like to get back into that. But just want to bring those guys up. Fantastic individuals, and I consider them friends big time. And of course, I can't do this without mentioning my family right here at the Rookie Big Board. You know, John and Matt are outstanding. Ryan, Anthony, Eric, you know, love you guys. And then I gotta end it with my podcast partner, Dwight, who you're going to be hearing from in just a little bit. So he'll give you some actual Devi content. But thanks, Dwight, for being such a great podcast partner. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you and all of your families. I hope you have a safe and wonderful time. Enjoy an awesome weekend of football. And, of course, row the boat and skull Vikings.
Welcome in. This is the Devi Big Board. It's part of the Rookie Big Board Network. I'm your host, Dwight. This week, I'm going to be solo, flying Han Solo this week. Skip has a bunch of family in town, and he's too busy going to all the Minnesota games, so he didn't have time to actually, I'm just kidding. He had time to watch football, but he's just busy this week. Family, family, family. On today's show, we're going to review last week's college action, discuss players to watch this weekend, and I'm going to go over a couple things that I'm thankful for. First, I want to talk to you about the ridiculous value that comes with being a Rookie Big Board patron. If you have a bad fantasy football team, you need to look ahead to your 2023 rookie drafts with us. You can become a yearly patron for 15% now. That is $30 a year, which is cheaper than a huge turkey. So, if you wanted to buy a big turkey for your family for Thanksgiving, but instead, you'd be like, yeah, my family's okay. They can just have, you know, whatever they can find in the refrigerator. And we're just going to get this Rookie Big Board patron thing for a whole entire year. I wouldn't recommend doing that. But anyways, $30. It's not much money. If you want to win a fantasy football championship this year and next year, you need the ridiculously valuable resources offered by the Rookie Big Board team at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. So we're going to go over week 12 real quick. It was kind of a crazy week. It looked like a quiet week to begin with. Not very many huge marquee matchups, but it ended up being kind of an insane weekend, starting with Hendon Hooker and the Tennessee Volunteers went down. They were primed to make the college football playoffs. They had everything in front of them, just had to beat South Carolina, Vandy, then watch two teams beat up on each other in the SEC championship game, and they would have been in. Instead, they end up losing as South Carolina hangs 63 points on them. But Hendon Hooker went down with a torn ACL. Now, what this does for him, as far as I'm concerned, it takes him out of first-round consideration. I think he was borderline first round anyways, but I mean, he should be prepared enough to, he'll be able to do interviews and things like that during the draft process, but he's probably not going to be able to run, obviously not work out, things like that. So It would have been a good showcase for him to show, but I think we've seen everything you want to see from Hooker. But at the same time, I think this knocks him out of the first round consideration entirely. I think he's definitely a day two guy. I guess some quarterback needy team could make, take a dart throw on him in the first, but I think he's probably more of a day two guy. Definitely sucks. I wanted to see him so badly, you know, end his college career this way, you know, and have them go into the college football playoffs, but just not meant to be. Even if Hooker was in there, they were struggling, and they probably would have still lost anyways. But and it also gave us a little bit of glimmer of hope, as Spencer Rattler had a hell of a game. Of course, I didn't pull up his statistics, but I knew he had close to 400 yards, several touchdowns. I want to say five or six, and he looked pretty good. But take it with a caveat. Take it with a grain of salt. There were times where he was throwing to guys that were so wide open that Skip or I could have threw the ball to him. Guys that were just, Tennessee seemed like their defensive game plan was to just kind of lope around in the outfield and just pray to God that someone doesn't throw toward him. It was pretty ugly. Beanie Wells there. I don't want to say Beanie Wells. He's not Beanie Wells. Beanie Wells is old school. But Antoine Wells was, he was just eating, man. He was eating all day. And everything they could do, they could not cover any of those wide receivers for South Carolina. So it was a rough game to watch. I tuned in when it was like 28-28 or 35-28, something like that, and kind of watched the rest, well, for a little while there until South Carolina pulled away. So definitely not the outcome that Tennessee wanted to have. Now they got a kind of a tough game upcoming next week up against, sounds tough, Vanderbilt, who's had now has two SEC victories in a row, and it seems to be playing really well. And they punched their bowl ticket with a win at rival Tennessee. So it's going to be a huge game for both teams. I'd like to see. It's going to be Joe Milton time. A lot of my cohorts are hyping up Joe Milton as being the next great quarterback there at Tennessee. You know, a guy who can put up the type of stats that Hendon Hooker had next year. Huge arm. Mobile guy, but just a huge, huge arm. Just needs to learn to rein it in. Needs to learn to control it. I'm not as high on him as some guys are. I've seen enough Joe Milton to know that I'm out on him, but he's going to put up some numbers. I don't think he's an NFL quarterback, but he might be a C2C quarterback next year. So keep an eye on what Joe Milton does against Vanderbilt and what he does in the bowl game. Next game, we'll go just touch on the Georgia game. Georgia barely, I don't say barely, beat Tennessee or Kentucky. They beat them 16-6, one of the uglier games of the weekend. I had a bunch of money on, not a bunch of money, I don't spend a lot of money, but I had parlays with Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey scoring or getting over 50 yards, and Georgia decided they only wanted to throw for 100 yards total. So not a pretty game offensively. They ran the ball a lot. Levis actually threw for 200 yards and a touchdown. I know, that's crazy. That's one of his better games of the season against Georgia, but at no point did Georgia look not in control of the game. So Will Levis, we talk about him ad nauseum. I'm still out on him. So Ohio State struggled a little bit. Travion Henderson, there's definitely something wrong with Travion Henderson. He might be better off just sitting out the rest of the season at this point. Dallin Hayden had a hell of a game in his absence and couldn't take over the role there. We'd like to see Meatball Williams get back into it, but Ohio State definitely didn't look pretty, and it took a last-minute scoop and score to pull ahead of Maryland there. Michigan also struggled. I mean, once Blake Corum went down with a ankle injury, and it appears like he's going to be all right for the game this weekend. So Ohio State and Michigan did not have pretty games leading up to the game next weekend, but maybe they're looking ahead a little bit. So Michigan struggled offensively. McCarthy, I'm starting to become out on J.J. McCarthy. He's not the answer, I don't believe. So yeah, take that with what you will also. TCU also struggled, but they did pull out a last-second win against Baylor. Ran the field goal team out there. One of the most exciting endings I've saw all year. Just runs the field goal team out, sets, boom, kicks, done. It was crazy to watch that happen. So Caleb Williams had another amazing game, and I think he's now pretty much seated himself in the front runner of the Heisman race. I think if Stroud has a massive game against Michigan and leads Ohio State to like a convincing throttling of Michigan, I think C.J. Stroud will probably take the lead. But Caleb Williams against UCLA threw for 470 yards and had over 500 total yards, and he is the real deal, kids. Like, he is absolutely fun to watch. I love his mobility, his playmaking on the run. I mean, he's improved light years since what I watched him in high school. So Caleb is the real deal. He is your, I mean, obviously, I'm already ushering out Stroud and Young. So when I say he's the Devy QB1. I mean, that's ushering those two guys out because they're, you know, kind of there. But the other guy who's kind of in the running for QB1 is Drake May. He showed that he was human. I mean, I know, crazy. Human. Against Georgia Tech, though, you would think that he, some of the teams he's played, he would have a bad game here and there. But, you know, he's human. Just one game. No worries at all for me. I mean, he's just, you know, he's a dude. And last game I want to touch on is Ole Miss versus Arkansas. Holy smokes. If you like running backs, if you like rushing yards, this was the game for you to watch. Rocket Sanders, 232 yards, 3 touchdowns. Judkins, 214 yards. Zach Evans, 207 yards. Add that all together, it's like, I don't know, 6,000 or something. It's a lot of rushing yards. So, and Arkansas convincingly walloped Ole Miss for their, I think it was their third loss now. So Ole Miss looked like they were in contention there in the SEC, and now they're no longer in contention. So week 13, we got a couple big games, obviously. I'm just going to touch a little bit on each of them. Tulane versus Cincinnati, I like this game a lot. Keep an eye on Tajay Spears, a guy who's going to the Senior Bowl. He's just about 1,000 yards rushing. He's got 20 receptions, 14 touchdowns this year. Plays for Tulane. And the more I watch this kid, the more I like him. A guy who could be a early day three guy in the draft, possibly higher if he has a great Senior Bowl showing. But a guy who could have a really carved out, defined role in the NFL as a pass catching back, an explosive tight back that can make some plays. So keep an eye on Tajay Spears. The Iron Bowl, always a fun game. I mean, no matter what these teams go into there, no matter what their records are going into the game, Auburn versus Alabama is always a dogfight. Usually not very pretty. I mean, games where you'd think they're going to go and be in a defensive slugfest, they both will score 40. But, I mean, it's usually a lower scoring, really tight game. Obviously, both teams need this win really badly, especially Alabama. But Notre Dame also travels out to USC. That should be a really fun game. USC is obviously positioning themselves for a possible college football playoff picture run, and beating Notre Dame would be a huge one for them. So Notre Dame is not just going to roll over, playing better offensively. Guys to watch for in this game, Jordan Addison, you know, Caleb Williams, USC. Notre Dame's not got a whole lot that I'm watching for as far as Devy on this game, but just should be a really good game. And obviously, the big game. Ohio State versus Michigan. I've lobbied unsuccessfully with my wife to change the time of our family Thanksgiving. We always have it on Saturday. Always at 2 o'clock. Always in the middle of this Ohio State versus Michigan game. It drives me freaking crazy. Luckily, the last couple years, the time we eat is almost right during halftime, so we don't end up missing too much of the game. But this is huge. A lot of storylines in this game. Both teams need the win to be in the college football playoff, although there is a way that they could both still make it, regardless of win or loss. If it's a tight game, if USC loses, if TCU loses, I mean, you could still see both of these teams in the college football playoff, unless one just absolutely totally craps the bed. And Blake Corum's the one I'm watching. Obviously, all of Ohio State, Stroud, Marvin Harrison. I think Marvin Harrison, I mean, he wants this stage. So I think Stroud and Harrison are going to have a field day. So it's just going to be a matter of whether Michigan can slow the ball down a little bit, run the ball, control the game. They want to control the game. It's going to be a fun one, though. It tends to be. Sometimes it goes out of control. But, I mean, you never know what you're going to get with this game. So I predict Ohio State's going to win pretty easy, but we'll see. So that's what I wanted to cover for week 13. And then real quick, just before I get out of the door here and let you guys get on your way, I just wanted to go over some things I'm thankful for. It's kind of cheesy. You know, we do this on our Thanksgiving weeks and things, but you know, I'm thankful for Devy football. I really, truly am. This is something that I remember listening to a podcast. It must've been 6-7 years ago at this point, and hearing about Devy and thinking, what in the heck is this? And I've always loved college football. So it kind of sparked my interest right away, and it was Travis May, Justin McCaslin, talking on their podcast. I can't even remember what it's called anymore. Dynasty Life, I think. Is it terrible? I'm old. So anyways, I used to listen to it all the time. It was one of my first podcasts that I ever listened to, and I'm thankful that I found Devy football, and I'm thankful that it has grown and it is what it is now, and there are the resources available that we have, because what I was dealing with even up to 5 years ago was nuts. I mean, there was no information hardly at all. And, you know, now almost every site has Devy rankings, Devy writers, You know, there's Debbie guys all over Twitter that are just awesome, which leads me to my second thing I'm thankful for, which is this community, which there are days that this community drives me absolutely nuts. I'll turn on Twitter, I'll read 6 comments, and I'll log off the rest of the day. I'm like, you guys are a bunch of freaking clowns. But then there's days where I'm amazed at how much we pick each other up, and that if I have a bad day or something, I can, you know, say something in a chat or in Twitter or, you know, any of those, like Discord or whatever, and everybody kind of rallies to you and supports each other. I think behind the scenes, we support each other, and we saw a lot of that at like the Fantasy Football Expo. You know, everybody puts aside their differences, and people can get salty and people can get disagreeable and grumpy and shitty with each other on Twitter. But in the end, I think we all have a really good community here, and I love how supportive they are, and especially with things like mental health and, you know, when somebody's struggling, like when Faith had lost her house or had a lot of damage to her house during the hurricane a couple months ago, how everybody rallied to her and raised money for her. So I love seeing stuff like that. I think all of us lift each other up and we all look out for each other. And it's just, I'm super duper thankful for that. I love it. So getting cheesy there a little bit. And last, I'm just really thankful for my family. The fact that my family lets me do this. You know, I know some wives could be, I don't think a lot of wives would be like, absolutely no, you can't do that. But a lot of them would be like, would frown upon it and, you know, not like let you get. My wife has allowed me freedom to do basically whatever I want. I spend hours a week, nowhere near as much as probably some of you guys do. So there are some guys that I see tweet 15, 20 times on Twitter, release 15 articles a week, you know, do rankings, 7 podcasts. I'm talking about you, Matt Bruning, you know, so except for the article thing. But so you see these guys out there that do all of that. And then we all should be thankful for our family for letting us do that and, you know, supporting us as we take this road around this silly ass hobby that we love. But that is all I've got for this week. Everybody enjoy your time with your families. I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of Devi Big Board. It is part of the Rookie Big Board Network. We'll be back with more Devi Big Board next week. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for the CFF Big Board with Matt and John. Thank you guys very much. Happy Thanksgiving.